Amen. God bless you this morning. How many of you glad to be in the house of the Lord? One more time. No, like literally one more time. Like you came, we left, and then we came back in. I'm so glad to be here. This is my wife, Dominique, everybody. I think some of you meet her for the first time. Dom and I traveled up here, and oh my goodness, this has been an interesting weekend. Like, it didn't start just now with that happening. It started with us flying here, trying to fly here on Friday morning, right? And then it got canceled, and then we got on another plane. And then this flight from Myrtle Beach to New York is supposed to only be about 45 minutes. It turned into like 2 hours and 45 minutes because we were doing circles over North Carolina for about 45. And then we did circles again up in Virginia for another 45. And then, you know, it's because there's too many of y'all in New York trying to land at the same time. So it's been a very, very interesting weekend. And then, of course, you know, I always tell your pastor, who we love dearly, and his beautiful wife, you know, we love coming to TC, but pastor always invites me during this time of the year when it's cold. And then today, I really believe he did that on purpose because he said, oh, no, bro, I want you to stand out there for a minute and feel this cold. So, I, because I'm always posting palm trees. So I think TC, y'all taught us a lesson today. Amen. Amen. Bring a jacket, bro. Bring a jacket. Because you never know. But we're just so excited to be here. Dominique and I came up with our girls. They're not with us this morning. They were supposed to be with us this morning. But there's a such thing called sleep that babies like. And so we decided not to fight with them this morning so that we can come here and enjoy ourselves for a minute. This is the only chance we get to have a date without the kids. So. But we're so glad to be here. But before you sit down, can you please give a great big hand to your pastors, Pastor Joe, Lady Ruth. Come on, you can do a little bit better than that. Come on. Yes, we love you so much. And thank God for you all being there for us really since kind of like the beginning of our pastoring ministry. A lot of people don't really know it. And I'll share more about this in the message because we're talking about honor's reward all day today. And but we have such a reverence and we have such a love for your pastor. Sometimes you've got to know that there are people in high places that honor your leaders. You're not the only ones that love them. They're loved literally all over the country. Literally, people are honored and they love your pastor and his wife because they're people of integrity. They really live what they teach us about. They're examples. You know, people say sometimes the only Bible that some folks will ever read is your life. Well, when people read your pastor and his wife's life, they're reading the true word. Amen. Amen. And we ought to thank God every single day that you have the greatest pastors on the planet. Amen. That should be your language. Amen. Amen. And so, do you want to preach or you just want to let me do it? Okay, I got it. All right. Amen. So thank you so much for having us today. And let's go into the word. Amen? Amen. Now, can I just get some clarity? I got a clock back there. Good deal. That's more than enough time. You can be seated for just a moment. I'm going to continue with the same subject that Pastor has been teaching on and Pastor Glenn shared last week. How many enjoyed Pastor Glenn last week? Amen. As a matter of fact, I want to do something real quick, Pastor Glenn. You got your cell phone? You got your cell phone? All right. Now, those of you that were really paying attention to the sermon last week, Pastor Glenn made a statement about Marcus Gill's text messages that go out. And I heard that his wife and some of y'all give him a hard time as to whether or not I am actually texting him. And somebody told him that I text everybody. So today, because Pastor Glenn serves and honors Pastor Joe and his wife so much, and he serves this church so well, I'm going to text him a personal message right from my phone so that he can see it. And then I want his wife to leave him alone forever to say, you can never say Pastor Marcus did not directly text Pastor Glenn a message of encouragement. Did you get it? What does it say? Is it coming through? Come on, you gotta get an iPhone. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, it'll come through tomorrow. It says, be blessed. So y'all give Pastor Glenn a hand. Amen. Oh, man, this is hilarious. Yes, 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 yes. He got a message for me, so you can never bother him again. Honor, 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 honor. When I think about honor, I think about God. I think about how it is that the Lord gives us the opportunity to show honor. Honor isn't only something that we have to do, because I don't want anybody to think that this is a watered down subject and it's not something we have to do, but it is something that we have to do. But I want you to also see honor as not just something that you're obligated to do, but it's something that we have the opportunity to do and enjoy. When you're obligated to do something, it means you have to do something that you don't want to do. And when honor is done out of obligation, it's not genuine honor. It's an obligation. It's a job. It's a task. When the Lord calls us to show honor, he's not calling us into slavery, yet into a golden opportunity to be blessed beyond measure ourselves. The Bible says something in Matthew 6 and 33. I want to go there first. Matthew 6 and 33. And I want to have it on the screen for you so that you can look at this with me. And then I'm going to give you this little diagram that I made, again, on my iPhone, that can paint a greater picture of honor in my heart. So the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 33, now remember, if you look at this scripture in your Bible, if you have the red letter Bible, you will see these words in red letters, because these are the words of Jesus, all right? Jesus says, but seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So first of all, we know that Jesus was talking about your needs. And I would even go as far as to say he was talking about our needs and our desires. And he's encouraging us not to go after our needs and not to go after our desires and not to make being blessed, so to speak, our priority. But he says, before you look for rewards and before you look for increase and before you look for all these blessings, all of these nice things, the nice car is wonderful, the nice house is wonderful, the beautiful family is great, having a whole lot of money is wonderful, having a healthy body is great, all the blessings of the Lord, every good thing that heaven has. Man, when you just think about all the good things that heaven has, it ought to stir you up, because you know that those things belong to us. Those things have our name on them. But Jesus says, don't make those things a priority. Don't put those things first. But he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, his way of doing things. Seek first his kingdom and then seek first his way of doing things. And then he says, all these things will be added unto you, aka put God first and then the rewards will come. If you believe in that sequence, say amen. Just let me know. You're right with me, okay? Now, look at this word seek, but seek ye first. Seeking God, seeking the kingdom, and seeking his righteousness, all wrapped up in that word seek is the word honor. Take a look at this diagram here. Don't laugh at me. My wife is the one getting her PhD in education. I made this. I'm not a professor. But when I have the word seek here, wrapped in the word seeking God is the word honor. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Say it again. Honor.
Honor.
All right. Seeking is honoring. Now, the way I grew up in church all of my life, don't pick on me, because many of you grew up in some of these kind of churches too. Seeking God was kind of spooky. Seeking God kind of meant just lay on your face all day. Seeking God meant roll on the floor. Seeking God meant speak in tongues, scream and holler and drool. And, you know, if you weren't doing those kind of things, you weren't seeking God. This is how you seek God. And as we matured in Christ, we realized that seeking God didn't only have to do with laying on the floor and being in prayer all day, every day, but it had everything to do with actually how we live as a reflection of the Word of God every day. Here's the good news. The power and the presence of God on your life is not limited to a worship experience. The power and presence of God and the glory of God on your life goes beyond these four walls. We're only here for about an hour and a half, once or twice a week. Man, what about the glory of God being on your life the rest of the day? How do we seek God the rest of the week and the rest of the month and the rest of the year? What about those moments where you can't make it to the building? Does that mean you don't have the opportunity to seek God? Absolutely not. It's not just in our behavior in church, but our seeking God has everything to do with how we honor God in every area, every day of our lives. If you believe that, say amen. All right, so seeking God in essence is honoring God. But now in this word honor, here's three aspects I want to show you. Somebody say respect, say repentance, and service. So honoring God requires us to respect Him, to fear Him. I want to encourage everybody in the room right now, do not get caught up in the hype of this world, this world's comfort in disrespecting our true and living God. There's a lot of disrespect taking place in the world where people no longer respect the word, they no longer respect Christians, they no longer respect the kingdom, and as a matter of fact, there's been so much respect lost for a lot of pastors, a lot of respect lost for religious leaders, and I'm going to tell you why. And this is just unfortunate, but there's a lot of respect that has been lost for religious leaders and for pastors and their wives because so many, unfortunately, have not lived up to the honorable lifestyle that God requires of men and women of God. It's just the truth. It's not because God has lost His validation. And it's not because the Bible some way somehow has lost its power. The Bible is still the most powerful book in the world. In fact, it's not even just a book. It's a library of 66 books full of revelation and full of power. In fact, the Bible is more relevant than this morning's news. But yet there's so many people that have lost respect for the word simply because of so many that have been misrepresenting what it means to be a kingdom leader or to have kingdom authority. This is another one of the reasons why I thank God for the month of October, because even as we're reflecting on Pastor Appreciation Month and reflecting on these times, you have a right to be thankful that you do not have leadership that has led to the outrageous disrespect of the kingdom. You have to be honored about the fact that God gave you a house. God gave you leadership. God gave you a man and a woman of God to lead you in this season. Watch this here. From earth to reward, as my grandfather would say. Amen. Amen. Look at this real quick. I'm going to come back to the diagram, but I want you to flip over to Timothy. 1 Timothy 5:17. What does the word say here? Paul is teaching young Timothy a lesson on how to lead and how to be honorable. And here it is, I'm going to refresh Paul's word here at Transformation Church to say to you today, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of, let the leaders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Now, the elders there talks about those who have rule over us, those that are a little older than us. Now, if you take some time to dig deep into this revelation here, you don't even have to just consider age, but elders there is representative of those who have spiritual maturity beyond you. So spiritual maturity, all right, has nothing to do with age, but it has everything to do with the position that a man or woman of God has been placed in your life. So even if you are a little older than Pastor Joe or Lady Ruth, they still have greater spiritual maturity over you, so we are responsible for showing them honor every opportunity we have. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy. So your pastor is not one that has ruled out of flesh. He's not one that has ruled with selfishness. He doesn't rule for performance or entertainment, but he is ruling, watch this here, his rulership over Transformation Church is indeed counted worthy because he's doing things God's way. How many of you believe that? He's doing things God's way and he does things by God's word. Likewise it is for his wife. Likewise it is for the entire staff here. And likewise it is for you as you represent this church everywhere you go as a leader. Amen. And so let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. So that goes beyond just saying, oh, I honor you, but you go above and beyond to be intentional to say, I'm giving double honor. Now, here's the part that a lot of you are going to love. You're going to fall in love with this part, because when you look into the context of this text and the historical context of the text, whenever you read that word in this scripture, double honor, he was talking about financial blessings. Oh, it got quiet. Show my pastor double honor. That doesn't just mean walk up to him and go like this every Sunday and bow at his feet. No. It means pull something out your pocket and be a blessing. It means sow into them. There's one translation that says, let the leaders of the church who rule with excellence receive an abundance of financial stability. That's not hard, is it? To say, oh my goodness, my man and my woman of God, they're so worthy of this. They've been so honorable in their leadership and they've been so honorable in their rulership. I ought to make sure that they never have a broke day in their life. Oh, it's so quiet. Jesus, Lord. That's the word. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. This is Paul teaching Timothy. Double honor, especially they who labor in word and in doctrine. How many believe that your leadership is worthy of that double honor today? All right? Now listen, I want you to paint this picture in your head. When God blessed you with Pastor Joe and when God blessed you with Lady Ruth, he did not give you a boat that he found underwater. Worthy leadership, anointed leadership, leading you from earth to glory, from work to reward. We got to go above and beyond in honoring them and respecting the leadership. I remember, oh my goodness, one of the most tough experiences of my life in my ministry was when I had to defend my grandfather in a season. Oh my goodness, it was so tough, because there was a time where I was in ministry and honor wasn't prevailing like it is here. Honor wasn't moving forward like it is here. Whenever there's a ministry where honor doesn't prevail, it can never grow. Whenever you're in a ministry or even in business where there's no honor, business crumbles, business fails. Likewise, it is in the church. When there's no honor present, ministry is stymied. But when honor is present, ministry grows, because an honor system is the seed for greater. And I'm not just talking about everybody just honoring Pastor Joe and honoring Lady Ruth. They're the priority in honor. But when even you honor the staff and you honor the leadership of the church, watch this here, and then you look around the sanctuary and you honor one another, that's a seed for increase. I'm going to move on in a minute, but man, even outside, when we had the little situation just now, and I told one of the pastors that was standing and talking with us, and I said, I am so impressed by what I see right now. Because even with that hiccup, I didn't see anybody complaining. I didn't see anybody murmuring. I didn't even see anybody run to the car and leave. And I said to them, I said, this message this month is nothing but confirmation and encouragement. I said, because obviously TC is a church of honor. Are you hearing me? Oh man, so many other places, there would have been nothing but complaining and fussing. You would have heard cars screeching out of the parking lot. Just gone. I'm going somewhere else. I ain't got time for this. But everybody had such a pleasant spirit. I was going to ask Pastor Ruth, Pastor, you mind if I just preach outside? Let's just do something different. That's what honor is all about. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say, I'm a person of honor. Now, let's go back to the diagram. All right? Before y'all think I'm just trying to have a fundraiser for Pastor. Seek honor. In honor, there's respect. In honor, there's repentance. Having a heart of repentance is something that we cannot overlook when we are walking in honor. Why? Because you know what? Having a heart of repentance shows your humility before God. And it suggests that you don't think you got it all together, that you don't need Him. Having a heart of repentance is necessary. Whether you've been saved for the last 70 years of your life or you just gave your life to the Lord in the coffee shop this morning, having a heart of repentance and maintaining a heart of repentance is necessary so that you can remain in the perfect position to complete your God-given assignment under His glory and to be sure that you are a good representative of what it looks like to be a child of God. Maintaining a heart of repentance, that means daily saying, Father, thank you for this day. Help me, Lord, not to mess up. Help me to remain in your perfect will. And even at the end of the night, praying a prayer to the Lord saying, Father, forgive me, Lord, of all of my sins and everything I've done wrong, those things that I know of and those things that I don't know of. Because there are times, man, even in our walk and even in our spirituality, the enemy has a way of kind of creeping up on us and having us slipping far from God and we don't even realize it. But if you maintain a heart of repentance intentionally, it helps you to stay focused on who you are in God, and it helps you to continue to respect and honor the Lord in your lifestyle every day of your life. Amen? Amen. So have a heart of repentance. That shows humility. And then, of course, service. Service is in the seeking. Service is in your honor. A lot of times people think that this is the only way to serve God is by being a preacher or by being an evangelist. And if you got a Bible in your hand and you're always preaching, that's the only way to show forth your service to God. When in fact, the Lord has placed something in every individual in this room and he wants you to use the gift that you have to serve him in whatever capacity he places you in. There is no big job. There is no small job. Every act of service in the kingdom, every act of service in the church is a great responsibility. No matter what your assignment is, no matter what you've been called to do. I don't have enough time to go into this, but in the service part, this is why it's important to discover your purpose so that you can truly honor God, be in his perfect will all the days of your life, and fulfill your specific God-given assignment. I'll say it like this, real ghetto. Find something to do if you're not doing nothing. I'm talking about honor. Find something to do. It's a good thing to be a church attendee. It's a good thing to watch on live stream. But even if you're not able to come or you can't just gear out people right now for whatever reason, guess what you can do? You can honor this ministry. You can honor your pastors. You can show honor by hitting that share button. Every time you hear a pastor say something real good, share, 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 comment, tag people. That's how you can serve online. There is never a job too small for you to honor God. God honors you when you do whatever you can to honor him. It's like when Jesus said, go ye into all the world and teach all nations. People think, oh, that means get a flight and fly to China and fly to Brazil and go to Antarctica if there's people down there and preach to them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word nations wasn't just countries. The word nations is representative of wherever you dwell on a regular basis. Your job is your nation. Your neighborhood is your nation. Where you go to school is your nation. Are you hearing me, somebody? Your favorite restaurant is your nation. It don't make any sense that you say, oh, I can go to this pizzeria every time. Everybody in there knows me, and none of them have ever been to church. Because that's your nation, where you're known and where you dwell on a regular basis is your nation. And guess what? When you render your service to the Lord in your nation, that is all wrapped up in your what? Honoring God. Because it's respect, it's repentance, and it's service. Respect, repentance, and service. Say that with me. Respect, repentance, and service wrapped up in honor, which leads to our favorite part, pleasure. Pleasure. And somebody will say, well, Brother Gill, if I just respect and I repent and I serve, I'm going to have pleasure. Don't look at it as if pleasure is something that comes after the seeking, or pleasure comes after the honor, or pleasure comes after respect, or after repentance, or after service. Pleasure is embodied in all of it. You find joy in having respect. We find joy, praise the Lord, in repentance. We find joy in service. It's not something that comes after we feel fulfilled. No. Learn how to find joy in honoring. Amen, somebody. Amen. Find joy in the respect. Man, I got so much respect for the people around me. What you so happy about? Nothing. I'm just respecting people today. Man, what you so happy for? I have a heart of repentance, so I know that God is smiling on me right now because I have a heart of repentance. I just find joy in making sure I'm right with God. What you so happy for? Man, I'm just joyfully serving the Lord. Man, never let anybody feel as if you are frustrated in your service to God. When you're serving, people ought to, you ought to have the reputation, man, so-and-so, he just loves doing what he does. I can tell he loves it. Can't y'all tell I love preaching? I just love it. Can't you tell? I just love preaching, right? Anytime people see me, they say, man, that guy loves doing what he do. Let that be your reputation as well, that you find great pleasure in your service. Because seeking God is pleasurable. Amen? And so listen, let me give you a few keys. I know I'm pushing time here. I got about 40 points, but I'm only due 7. Number one, you can take a picture of these. People of honor must be comfortable with rejection. There are times where people of honor, and I'm talking about you because you show honor and you give honor, you got to be comfortable with rejection. Everybody is not going to like the fact that you show honor to people. Because there are folk that aren't honorable like you are. And people who refuse to hear a message like this and refuse to take action will oftentimes criticize your honor. And so you got to have a face like flint. And you got to have tough skin and say, I'm not gonna water down my level of honor because people don't understand why I'm as faithful as I am. Are you hearing me? Now, I didn't say get used to rejection. Because if you get used to it, I'm telling you that it's just going to always happen. It's not going to always happen, but there will be some who will reject you because you choose to honor the pastor and his wife. There will be some who will reject you because you choose to honor the leadership and honor your fellow brothers and sisters in the church because they've got an ought with somebody or they got a problem or they got a spirit that needs to be cast out of them. But don't let that change your attitude about honor. Be comfortable with it. And what will happen is God will always put you around others who enjoy honor and you all will honor God together. Amen? Amen? How about this? Number two, honor doesn't come because of money, education, or social status. It comes when we operate in obedience to your God-given assignment. There's a whole lot of folks that got a lot of money. There are a lot of folks that have great education. There's a lot of people that have high social status. And yet they are not honorable people. Because honor doesn't come because of what you have in the natural. Honor comes first from God because you obey your God-given assignment. If you are walking in your God-given assignment, let me tell you something, you are a person worthy of honor. You could be sitting next to a billionaire who could care less about honoring God, and yet God will look at you and see you more honorable in their sight. I'd rather you be a billionaire and be on your God-given assignment and have the honor of God versus the honor of people. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, said something years and years and years ago. He said, to be called to serve God, I would never stoop down to become a king. Because our position in the kingdom is the greatest responsibility that mankind could ever have. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right, number three. Honor always leads to promotion, elevation, and admiration from God and man. Honor always leads to promotion. We're talking about honor's reward, right? Honor always leads to promotion, elevation, and admiration from God and man. When you show honor, you position yourself for the best of God's blessings. Promotion, elevation, admiration from God and man. God looks at us and he smiles when we show honor, when we live an honorable life. But then as well, people find a level of respect for you when they see that you live an honorable life. Anybody in here feel respected by people sometimes? Yeah, it's not just because of what you have. It's because of your lifestyle. Honor respects honor. Honor breeds honor. Honor reaps honor. And out of that, promotion comes, elevation comes, admiration from God and man. How about this? Number four, genuine demonstrations of honor are proof of maturity and mindfulness of excellence. Get that in your spirit today. Genuine demonstrations of honor are proof of maturity and mindfulness of excellence. Just because you honor someone else doesn't mean that your greatness has been watered down. Or your excellence is some way, some part to another. Don't see it like that. It doesn't mean that you're immature because you look up to somebody. Only a fool rejects advice. That doesn't suggest immaturity, but it's proof of maturity when you demonstrate honor. It's proof of your mindfulness of excellence when you show honor. Number five, the honoring of others is a sweatless task for people of dignity. People of dignity. It's a sweatless task. We don't have to grab you and force you into showing honor when you're a person of dignity. You want to honor. You look forward to the opportunity to honor someone, to honor leadership, to honor your pastors, to honor a friend. And even, watch this here, dignity even suggests you're willing to honor somebody that you know is, for lack of a better word, somewhat beneath you in life, but yet you're still willing to honor them because you see them as a human being and not an object to be judged. Amen? So the honoring of others is a sweatless task for people of dignity. Number six, honor is proof of gratitude. Honor is proof of gratitude. Thankfulness is always a divine seed for increase. So when you honor your pastor and his wife, and you honor the leadership of this church, and you honor one another, you honor your family members, you honor folks even on your job, even if you don't like them, you still find a way to honor them. Guess what it is? It's proof of your gratitude. I am grateful for what the Lord has blessed me with. Therefore, I am going to honor. I am grateful for the leadership that God has given me. Therefore, I'm going to honor them. And it's the seed for increase. Last but certainly not least, number seven, honor calls for protection, even in the absence of the one being honored and protected. You always have to speak up for the one that you're honoring. You always have to speak up for your leaders. You always have to speak up for your pastors. If ever there's a time where there's a conversation that's going on that's not in agreement with the vision of this house and not in agreement with what God has spoken concerning this house, and it doesn't match the language of pastor and his wife, and it doesn't match the language of the vision of this house, you and I are responsible for speaking up and protecting the words of the man and woman of God, protecting their integrity, protecting their reputation. Anytime you hear a lie being spoken about your ministry, you got to open your mouth real quick and be quick to correct it, shift it. No, not so. That's not true. We're not going to let anything spread. I'm protecting my leaders because I honor them. I'm going to protect my brothers and sisters because I honor them. Even in the absence of the one being honored, you got to show forth protection. Amen? And I'm going to wrap up with this. Honor doesn't just release blessings to you. It releases blessings from you. Honor doesn't just release blessings to you. It releases blessings from you. I'm more excited about the fact that the blessings of the Lord can be released from me than released to me. They're gonna come regardless. That's why I seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And yea, all these things will be added unto me. I honor, I seek, I respect, I repent, I serve, and I find pleasure in it all, because now God can use me as a vessel to release blessings. Somebody say, I'm a blessing releaser because I'm a person of honor. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to share with you this morning. God bless. Amen.